Laurent de Wilde et pas de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ou de Wilde.
Ça me faisait assez marrer que ça s'appelle Do et que je m'appelle Rémi, hein. C'est tout con.
J'y avais pas fait la connexion, mais ouais.
Voilà.
Je pense que le son dit quelque chose de l'être humain.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Jazz interview. Pour une rencontre avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Avec Serge Mariani.
Il s'appelle Thaïs Semé. Il est né au Danemark. On peut dire qu'il est danois, donc, mais surtout qu'il joue de la guitare et il compose aussi. Je ne sais pas si le fait d'être danois change quoi que ce soit à cela. Avec la chanteuse Marie Merck, il est la seule personne danoise que je connaisse, mais c'est amusant, l'un et l'autre font de la musique. J'ai rencontré Thaïs lorsqu'il est venu en France, accompagné pour leur premier concert parisien, la jeune contrebassiste, compositrice et chanteuse Fuensanta Mendes, au sein du quartet de celle-ci, Las Atmosferias. Déjà, son son de guitare, sa musicalité m'avait impressionné, moderne ou très contemporain, très fluide surtout, et ne cherchant les effets de style comme ceux d'une virtuosité certaine que dans la nécessité d'exprimer le plus justement possible ce que son inspiration lui donne à imaginer. Dans ce deuxième album, sèchement intitulé, parce que c'est très aride comme formulation, « Throw Stones », il déploie encore davantage la palette de phrasés, de sons, de rythmes et de couleurs dont il avait commencé d'éclairer les toiles, petites ou grandes, à quoi faisaient déjà penser ses précédentes compositions. Ce lancer de pierre, plus ou moins rageur, est ici souvent celui des éclats de la voix de Fuensanta Mendes, des clameurs de la trompette d'Alistair Payne, de la batterie tonnante de Guy Tristan Salomon, des envolées de la guitare de Thaïs, bien sûr, et des instruments de tous les autres musiciens qui jouent cette musique, la musique de Throw Stones, deuxième et nouvel album du guitariste Thaïs Semé. Donc, hello Thaïs, bonjour.
Bonjour.
Thanks, man.
The pronunciation, did I do it right, Thaïs? Yes, you did it completely perfect. Thank you so much. Because I must say, here we are in Amsterdam. I came to Amsterdam for the very first time. Yes, I did it. Succeeded, I survived. The bus trip, it was something. And we are in the conservatory of Amsterdam, and a very nice building, very cool, and a lot of people. And someone told me that maybe it is the first place for jazz music. There were maybe 300 students here learning jazz music, which is quite a lot. Yeah, it's a huge school. I've loved being here. I studied here for the last 6 years. I've graduated now. But it's been really giving, especially because of the size. I think, as far as I know, there is 400 or 500 jazz students every year here. And there are always new musicians from everywhere in the world. So for me, it's been really giving to be here, for sure. So, Thaïs, you play the guitar for always? Yeah, I played since I was 7 years old, so I'm getting close to have been playing for 20 years. Yes, because you're not so old, I guess. No, I'm a very young boy, just edging up on 27 soon. But it's already your second album. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to being productive enough to have two albums out now, so lucky me. And the first one is not so old too, maybe one year ago, I can remember it. Yeah, my first album was actually released exactly 1 year ago, in February 2019, Where the Fence is the Highest, that I made with a Dutch record label called Triptych. They offered me to record an album with me after they heard some music of mine, so I was really excited about making a first one. But albums are like tattoos, if you get one, you want to make more. So very quickly after it was released, I decided to make this album, which didn't start as an album actually. It started as me having written a lot of music, recording it with my friends, starting to work on it. First I thought I'll just release some singles, but then there came more songs and I thought, okay, I'll make an EP. And then suddenly more songs came and I thought, well, I guess I have trapped myself in this and it seems like it's just an album now. And how did you come to the guitar? I think when I started playing guitar first, it was because a friend of my father's played some guitar and I liked it and he bought me a guitar. And I played a little bit, took some lessons, and then I quit because I thought it was boring and I didn't like my teacher.
When I turned a few years later, I started listening to a lot of rock, like Green Day, when I was a kid. And I got really inspired by that and decided that I also wanted to be a really cool rocker and play guitar. So I got obsessed with playing guitar. And basically since then, I've played guitar all the time. Actually, when I grew up in the countryside in Denmark, 20 kilometers or something out from a city called Aalborg. But I grew up in a small village called Smilje. And that's a village that has 27 houses. And there were 75 people in the village. I went to a very small school. And at that time, because I was the only one that liked music or rock music around, I didn't have any friends at all for those 8 years I lived there or something. I was pretty much alone. And I had trouble in school also. I was getting bullied a lot, and it was sort of a tough time. So I think maybe I know a lot of people start playing music because it's cool, guitar. I think I did it more as a escape into something else than school, than people, which was hard for me then. So I could just sit at home in my room after school. I could just always walk home or bike home, and then I could just play guitar all day and video games, of course.
Yeah. And how would you tell you play the guitar? If we had to say that one or two kind of styles.
Yeah, I had a lot of stars. I kind of came into jazz from the other side. I started with more modern music. I played a lot of rock and metal first. I was a big fan of Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. Then I started playing in blues bands in Malmö, where I then moved later in my life in Sweden. And we played in a blues band that was touring a lot in southern Sweden and sometimes up further. And at that time I played a lot of blues a la Stevie Ray Vaughan and these kind of things. But during the same period I got really interested in jazz because of my guitar teacher. And the first jazz musician that I really fell in love with was Kurt Rosenwinkel, the modern jazz kind of guitar. And then my journey into jazz has been one of also going to younger and younger and younger jazz. I mean, earlier jazz. So yeah, so that's been kind of my guitar heroes. And it's first later in my life that I learned to love older jazz, like Charlie Parker and whatever. So I say that to a lot of my students also, who are often worried that they should be loving Charlie Parker, but they don't get it and they just want modern stuff. And I always say it doesn't matter, it comes to you. You find to start with the modern things because that's relevant to us now, you know. And then you dig deeper.
And Thijs, I propose you to listen to your tune, Winter Revisited, now.
Okay.
Let's do it.
But I live for this. I live for this. Naked, homeless, nameless, burdens, thinking, hoping, loving, devotion, sacrifice, endlessness, hopefulness, religion. Relentless, faithfulness, I live for this. Inexhaustive, unstoppable, immovable, invincible, infinity, I live for this. I live for this. Intimidating, inevitable, irretrievable, unforgettable.
Thank you.
Voilà, suite de cette jazz interview de Thaïs Semey sur la sortie, au sujet de la sortie de son deuxième album Throw Stones. On va lui demander quand même pourquoi il a choisi ce titre. Il aime bien les titres très particuliers, Thaïs. Et nous venons d'écouter un titre qui est commun aux deux albums, le premier et le deuxième donc, de Thaïs, qui ont été réalisés très rapidement l'un après l'autre, hein, à peine une année. Et donc ce titre Winter, l'hiver, celui-ci est donc revisited. Thaïs, why did you decide to make a second recording of this, even if it's not the same, of course, tune Winter, which is in the first album and in this one? So, but of course it's different because Fuensanta, I guess, is singing. In fact, singing. No, she's narrative. She's narrative.
Yeah, it's a very telling story that tells a lot about how the album actually came across. Because this album, this song, Winter Revisited, was one of the songs that I spent around 9 months making, and it had many versions. In fact, I had some of the older versions, the wrong versions now, on another radio show, which is a terrible marketing strategy. Shame on me. But so what it started with was I was sitting at home, and I knew I had some recordings already ready for a single, and I was listening to my old recordings of Winter, but my old demos of me playing it on guitar. And I sat and drummed on my lap, and I thought, wow, this sounds so cool. I wish I could do this one again. So I put everything into to a program and recorded some guitar things. And then I called Son Mi-hong, who was the drummer. And then I said, Son, can we please meet tomorrow in a drum room where I can record you playing this over it? And I sent her a sound recording of me drumming on my lap, saying, I think it's 11/8, 5 plus 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 or something. Can we do this? And she said, oh, okay, fine. So we met up the next day and I recorded her playing over the song. And she was playing over it, I think, 5 different takes. And then I went home and I had this idea of having all 5 takes at the same time of her playing really aggressive. And I started working on it, mixing it, making it sound really great. And I started kind of refining the moments more and more and more over the months. I came up with the idea of having an old working song in the end. I had some different text of speeches in the start during the song. And then it started evolving and I came up with the idea of having these words, a poem that I wrote that Fuensanta should speak. And then in the end I was like, oh wait, I was talking with a friend and he showed me a clip of him playing a guitar solo, like in a certain vibe, and I thought, wow, this is really what I want. So I made that. So it evolved over 9 months into what it is now on the album.
And it's great. I like it so much. The way the music is growing and coming to different shapes, I should say. And the voice of Fuensanta and these words very very specific, very one coming after the other, and it's like different. You know, when you would try to paint. To make a painting, you add just one touch of color, one shade here, one shade, and it sounds like this for me. It's really moving, you know, the way it goes. As we are still in the Conservatory of Amsterdam now, more and more people are gathering around us. There is a party, I don't know, and the cakes, to things to eat and drink. When you came here. You decided to come here from Denmark, I guess. You didn't from Sweden. Sorry, from Sweden. And then what? How would you say this is a specific place for music? Because it sounds like it's a very there is a lot of power from music here. A lot of musicians, a lot of young musicians, and especially for jazz music.
Yeah, it's a really, really rich place. To be honest, when I applied here, it was because in Sweden, everybody knows that you go to jazz high school or music high school, and then you go to another school, and then you apply for conservatories and get in somewhere. And it's so, what's it called? I don't know, it's such a formalized, rigid system. Everybody does the same. Everybody goes to school. So I was also thinking, now I'll go to a school. And I applied to a lot of schools in Sweden and Denmark, and a friend of mine talked about this school. So I saw the website and it looked nice, so I applied.
And you have a Dutch name, yeah. Thijs.
I didn't even know back then. I had no idea. But yeah, I just applied and I managed to get in, and I was really excited about it, because when I was here and seeing the school, it was so much bigger than anything I'd ever seen. So it's it was by chance, and it has been a huge journey for me, a very big learning experience to be a part of this environment. It was by being here that I noticed all the crazy music that comes from this city. And it's been some of my biggest mentors and heroes since then have been here and being able to teach me all the time and meet up with me and talk about music and help me with everything I have doing. So,
for example, did you have masterclasses with Kurt Rosenwinkel?
No, I never had any masterclasses with Kurt Rosenwinkel. He hasn't come by. But I have been fortunate enough to have masterclasses with Mark Turner and John Scofield, I got to play with once. And a lot of incredible musicians have come by. I'm lost for names because there's too many great. Ambrose Akimusier has been here, talked about music a bunch of times. So it's been very, very rich environment to grow as a musician in, for sure.
But you like especially Kurt Rosenwinkel's music, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, his world of music has been so close to me since I started playing music. It's I cannot get away from it. It's like a disease almost, like piano players talking about Brad Mehldau. It's just love him too much. If I listen to, I've even had periods where if I listen to Kurt Rosenwinkel before a concert, I play better. So I try to listen to some albums of his before a concert to make sure that I play my best, you know. And yeah, I think his musical universe is so amazingly lyrical and strong. His music and his compositions are, for me, very unlike a lot of modern jazz, in the sense that it sounds so melodic and real all the time, and doesn't sound strange and vague at all. And for me, the power of his lines and the directness of that music is something I also have been very inspired by.
Okay, so maybe it's time to listen to some Kurt Rosenwinkel's tune. Sure. You chose one, Thijs. The next step from the album Deep Song in 2005. Donc, on va écouter de Kurt Rosenwinkel, guitariste, bien sûr, the next step de son album Deep Song, réalisé et produit en 2005. Et on se retrouve après pour la troisième et dernière partie de cette jazz interview avec Thijs Semé ici à Amsterdam. Thank you. l'ambiance commence à monter ici dans la, je ne sais pas, on va dire la mezzanine, le balcon de la cantine, du bar, du conservatoire d'Amsterdam, qui est vraiment accueillante. Il y a de plus en plus de gens, d'étudiants qui viennent ici se réunir après un concert, je crois. Et cette interview avec Thaïs Aimé continue. Ce sera donc la dernière partie. Nous venons d'écouter de Kurt Rosenwinkel, The Next Step de l'album Deep Song. Kurt Rosenwinkel, un guitariste et un des musiciens qui a particulièrement et qui continue d'influencer et d'inspirer Thaïs pour sa propre musique. Let's talk about now more about the music of the album, Throw Stones. And first, why this title of the whole album, Throw Stones? Lancer des pierres, throw stones. Yeah. Against who? To who? Yeah. What?
I got the title from a Danish proverb that's called "Man skal kaste sten, hvis man bor i et glashus." It's I think it also exists in most other languages. It means you shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house.
Ah, okay.
And so as I was thinking, I feel like with everything that's going on in the world, I couldn't help but being a little bit political. And I think amidst growing inequality, growing authoritarianism, fascism, growing right-wing, anti-immigrant policies and stuff that personally I'm very against, it's hard to ignore that maybe we are in a glass house. And my thesis is, if this is how a glass house looks, we should start throwing stones, all of us.
Yeah. You think it's time to be, maybe even for jazz people, maybe to be more political?
Yeah, I think it's as artists, I can't speak of what one should or one shouldn't, but how I felt it is that I started feeling a responsibility to be relevant to my times, and if I have these opinions, I should somehow reflect them in my art. And I think it's more and more important that we as artists stand up for what's going wrong.
So would you say each song of the album is connected to that purpose, to that aiming?
Well, in a way. I mean, in a metaphysical way almost, or a meta way. I mean, my whole band is from a lot of different countries, from Portugal, from Israel, which is already controversial for some people.
Yeah,
you know, Portugal, Israel, they're from Mexico, Denmark, Holland, Italy. And all of these countries have their own stories of emancipation and struggle for rights of people.
And Sun Mi Hong, where she come from?
And she's from South Korea. So for example, so I think on that level it resembles the title. And also because the whole project of the album has been me trying to do everything myself. I made all the plans myself, I recorded most of it myself. I mixed everything, I mastered everything, I made all artwork myself as a sort of statement also that we can do it ourselves and we don't need to rely on other people doing the work for us.
And going back a bit to the main purpose of what we said just a few minutes ago, face full of dirt. What is the meaning of this? This is the opening title of the album, Face Full of Dirt, là, en français, là, le visage, la figure couverte de poussière, de saleté, dirty. What does it mean? Why did you imagine this?
Well, it's like many of my titles, it's sort of vague, but it comes from my deep admiration of a Scottish singer and songwriter called Ivor Cutler, who wrote a song called Face Full of, and I Face Like a Lemon. And his lyrics are amazing. And for me, also the title kind of hints towards the working class, how we all have blood on our hands, and we're the ones with a face full of dirt and dust, throw stones, etc.
I noticed this is an opening quite special, because this is like a ceremony. It's really mostly all the mood of the album is a bit like that, because the two tunes are called Funeral. You remember, you know it, of course. Funeral with the first, the most important one, the longest one is a Funeral with the trumpet playing like a voice too. It's really moving, and it made me remind of the You know, Gary Burton, yeah. He made an amazing album a long time ago named Genuine Tong Funeral, I guess, the right title. And we can find things like that in your music. That's, there is, of course, there is joy too, there is a powerful moments, but mostly this is there is a very deep, what would you say about it? Better than me.
Yeah, well, I agree. Like in many ways, for me, the CD has these very strong, what's it called, outbursting moments. But a lot of it is, in a way, introvert. I think by default, because of the process of making it, has been so much me sitting and working on my music and my thoughts about music. I also see the album as almost it sounds to me like a protest album, almost. The album Construção by Chico Buarque, who is also a Brazilian musician, who also is a protest album, and you can hear it. It's not so tailored to sound like a nice, smooth listening experience, but more as a statement. Everything means something.
So other titles are, for example, Mexico in Purple, with very nice guitar solo playing. But it was like the first time I listened to it, I felt like a like some rain on me. It was really special, like something glittering too. It was really something special. So Winter, we talked about it. Sicilian Colors too, very very original, because the keyboards, I don't know what kind of instruments did you use in this Sicilian Colors for this very special weird sound sometimes.
Yeah. It's actually all guitar. Yeah.
With effects, with the pedals and so on.
Yeah, with pedals and stuff. I wanted to make sure that I can perform it live as well, the same kind of sounds.
Well, a funny one, because why B? So it's written with the letter B only. Why be moody when you can shake your booty? Where did it come from, this weird title?
Yeah, it was... it was because I was, as one does nowadays, I was browsing Instagram. And I came across an influencer, and this particular influencer had it as her biography. The main thing you see when you log into the profile said, "Why be moody when you can shake your booty?" And I read it, and I thought, this is possibly the most stupid thing I've ever read. And especially in these time and these days, I thought, how blissful and stupid can you be that you say something like this? And I think anyone that says it don't even believe it to themselves. It's just a lie you tell yourself. Why should I be sad when I can shake my ass? But that's so stupid. And maybe even way it's so stupid that it's satirical. So for me, that was a beautiful phrase that means something completely else than what it is.
And but beside specific moods, more deep, as we said, there is some bursts of music with very funny moments, and especially this song I like so much, Shower Song.
Yeah, it's such a specific vibe, so influenced by punk music, but then the spirit of Ornette Coleman, and crazy things can happen.
Absolutely right. So maybe Thijs, we will end and say goodbye before just listening to this song, Shower Song. I just will tell again, the title of the album is Throw Stones, from Thijs Saimee. We will listen to this tune of the album called Shower Song, la chanson de douche, voilà, qui est un peu de punk, jazz, and whatever, music, anyway, it's good. Thank you, Thijs, and goodbye, see you soon.
Thank you, good evening, friends.
Laurent de Wild et pas de Wild.
Ou de Wild.
Ou de Wild.
Ou de Wild.
Ça me faisait assez marrer que ça s'appelle Do et que je m'appelle Rémi, hein. C'est tout con.
J'avais pas fait la connexion, mais ouais.
Voilà.
Je pense que le son dit quelque chose de l'être humain.
Yes, please. Thank you very much.
Jazz interview pour une rencontre avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District. Thank you.